You know, today we celebrate Father's Day. It's a time to take a moment and reflect on Dad. It's a time to let them know that we appreciate them and thank God for them. One small boy's definition of Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend so much. Some other people said, a dad is someone who wants to catch you before you fall, but instead picks you up and brushes you off and lets you try again. Somebody else said, a dad is someone who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way, even though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt. Another one said, a dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. You know, on Father's Day, it's hard to talk about fathers without talking about the Heavenly Father. And both are mentioned in the Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? The contemporary English has it as bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. But your Heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to the people who ask. Now, Jesus here is talking to a generation before he has died for them. And, you know, I believe that there's something within fathers that they're just designed to reach out and help their kids. I don't know how anybody else felt, but I remember looking down in the face of both of mine, and both of them are sad they can't be here today. Craig is preaching in Hawaii, and Denise is off on a trip with Wesley. But, you know, so, and Cameron, my grandson, he was just in the hospital, had his appendix and his gallbladder out, but Skylar came. Thank you, Sky. But, you know, I never will forget looking down into the face of that boy and then the face of that girl and realizing that, and I'm sure most ever fathers feel the same way, I would do anything for that child laying there. How many fathers can agree with me then? It just something happens. It just happens on the inside of you. Just when you look down in that child, I don't know whether there's even English words to describe it or not. What anybody? How many agree with me that they're just that way? You know, moms carry them for 9 months, and it's at that moment when a father sees that child that his entire being, his entire thinking, everything about him changes. You know, our Heavenly Father actually is our example as earthly fathers. Earthly fathers should be a reflection of the Heavenly Father to their children. Earthly fathers should be an example of our Heavenly Father to their children. And earthly fathers should lead the way to the Heavenly Father. You know, one of the best ways that you can be a good father to your children is let them see you obeying God's plan for your life. You know, Reed Markham said, the quality of a father can be seen in the goals, dreams, and aspirations he sets not only for himself, but for his family. You know, if I got a title of this sermon, it's called Being a Good Father. You know, Dad was called to go leave the church and start traveling minister in the middle of my third grade year. And although he was seldom home to see me compete in sports and anything else, really, but I remember he would make special trips and drive for hours just to spend time with his family. He would drive all night sometimes or half the night after he preached to pick me up if he's close enough. If I had if you got a holiday, you got a long weekend, and then we'd drive back and he'd be there to preach that night. And then I'd be with him on the weekend, and then he would drive most of the night on Sunday night to get me back so I could go to school the next day. You know, I guess that special times that we had together, you know, I miss Dad greatly. In fact, the first fight I ever had in school was over a boy who opened his mouth and said, "Oh, your dad just runs around all the time," and I cold-cocked him right there on the spot. Maybe I shouldn't have done that, kids, but I did. I'm sorry. But I remember many, many times going around behind the back porch and sitting down and putting my face in the side of old Mike's collie dog in his fur, and so nobody could see my tears as he drove off. You know, somebody said, "Would I change it?" No, I wouldn't change it. Because, you know, maybe as a kid you would have, but as I see how that everything unfolded for me and how it unfolded for many of you that followed his ministry, I now realize that was God's plan. And, you know, God gave me, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest role model that anybody could have. You know, I know Dad loved me. He was a mentor, a teacher, a godly example of me. And today I can say my dad was my hero. If you saw, I put a deal on the Facebook if you saw it. Now I want to look at a father in the Bible. I want to look at Luke 15. The prodigal son's father, I think, can be an example for us today. It says here, then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the portion of the goods that fall to me.' So he divided them, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his passions upon prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. He then went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine eat, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead, is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now the oldest son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But with anger, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandments at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said, his son, you're always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make Miriam be glad, for your brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, is found. Now, I believe that Jesus was using this story to drive home certain truths to the audience that he was talking to. To actually show the scribes and the Pharisees that they were like the older brother, and they were rejecting the Heavenly Father's love and all that he had. Also to show the Gentiles that they're like the younger son. They're lost but now found, and undeservingly experience the love of God. I also think it's to show that the Father in heaven acts the same toward the scribes and the Pharisees and the sinners and the publicans. He will provide for both of them the same. You know, the story actually shows three different people: the undeserving younger son, the bitter older brother, and the good father. So as we look at this story, let's see what we can learn. First of all, here's a father that divided the inheritance with his sons. You know, and nothing pleases a father better than to be able to give his children and his family what they want and what they desire. You know, nothing I don't think can cause a father's hat to overflow any more than when he can provide for his children and his grandchildren. You know, here also we see a father that was fair. He divided the estate equally. It says, so he divided to them both his livelihood. Now, this son's request seems a little bit unreasonable, I guess. But you notice the father did not say anything except, okay. Now here, let me say this. Just because a child is doing good is no, just because a child is not doing good, I should say, is no reason for you to stop being good to them. Now, you don't enable a child to do wrong, but you show goodness toward them so that you can guide them back to correctness. Amen. Now, here is a father that actually believed in his son. He believed, evidently, that he would come back, because it said when he was a great way off, the father saw him. I believe this shows that he was looking for him to come back. He was looking. And I wonder if we realize that when we stray, our Heavenly Father is watching and looking for us to return. You know, nothing is more wonderful for a child to hear his father says that he believes in him. And there's nothing more devastating to hear than for our father to say or indicate that he does not believe in them. You know, I learned from my dad. He always told me, he said, son, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be with you and God. And I told my kids the same way, same thing. You know, I've heard parents, and I thought, Lord, what are they doing? They let the kid out at school and they say, you better be good today and you better make good grades and so forth. What kind of send off is that? And yet I always told them, have a great day. Daddy loves you. God loves you. I'll see you this afternoon. Amen. You know, it's always better to reinforce goodness than it is to, you know what? How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, Jim Vivano said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. You know, I told my son, I tell my daughter, I tell my grandsons all the time, I'm proud of them. I believe in them. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of what they do. And I'm proud of their accomplishments. And let me say this right here. Don't try to make all the kids the same. They're not the same. They're all different, and let them be them. And don't compare them, and don't try to make, if one makes good grades and the other's just passes, don't try to make them be that kind of a student. They're not that kind of a student. Oh, that got quiet now. Amen. But that's something you need to hear. You know, Craig, he was from the time he made honor roll, he never, in fact, I don't think he ever made, but one time made a below an A in his whole 12 years of school. He went and asked the teacher, and he said, oh, you made A's on everything, but you didn't talk in class, so you got knocked down a grade. Well, he started talking in class then. Back used to when he was younger, he wouldn't talk. Now you can't shut him up. He talks all the time. Hello? Now, Denise, in high school, she was more interested in being in the choir and being in the plays and all that. One time, her mother told her, said, you got finals coming up. You better say, oh, no, it's more important that I do the musical, you know. But now when she got to college, I mean, she graduated with all of the honors and so forth and so on. But she was passing and doing good, and I figured, well, she could be an honor roll student. But that wasn't her thing. As long as I told her, I said, okay, as long as you pass, that's what it counts. You're a B. Now, why make every kid... And I see this in families all the time. Now, hey, I'm 78, will be in September. So I've been down the road a few times, and I've seen this too many times as fathers try to put every kid in the same mold. Let them be who they are. Now, they don't, you know, they're not, I'm not saying let them fail, but how many understand what I'm trying to say to you? All right, get what I'm saying, okay? You know, here this father showed his love unconditionally. He saw him afar off and had compassion on him. You know, he didn't run and tell him, hey, you done wrong. He didn't accuse him. Instead, he immediately welcomed him back, and his love filled his son. Now, his son said, I don't deserve this. But his father didn't even pay any attention to what he said. Right. You know, and this father, he celebrated the return of his son. Now, the celebration should be all the time, not just when a child has accomplished some life goals. Celebration is needed every step of the way. Affirmation is needed every step of the way. Even when you're not doing good, you know. You know, Lynette and I took some golf lessons years ago. And I mean, we hit the ball and it ain't no good at all. And the instructor said, oh, that's pretty good. That's good. That's good. Well, I knew it wasn't no good, but he was, and we need to do that with our children. Hello. Come on. Now, he restored his son. He celebrated him, and now he restored him. He said, I don't deserve anything but being a servant. And his dad said, nope. He received him back with open arms. You know, Abraham Lincoln was asked how he was going to treat the Southerners after they had been defeated. And the person that asked the question expected a desire for vengeance. But Abraham Lincoln answered, I will treat them as if they had never been away.
Amen.
This father treated this son as if he had never been away. And another thing that this father did, he defended his son. You know, against his older brother. His father stands by their children even when they are not perfect. You know, a good father will always be there. He's a good father. He stood by him. You know, my dad was not with me all the time, but I knew he loved me, and he stood up for me. You know, I remember either the first part of my third grade year or the last part of my second grade year, that last church dad pastored. Well, the head deacon's grandson jumped on me, and I got him off. I went in, I told Dad about it. He said, don't worry about it. But I knew what was going to happen. And sure enough, there's a knock on the parsonage door because we live right next to the church. You know what Ken did? Dad said, yeah, he told me. Said he'll do it again if he jumps on him. He said, I told him never to start anything, but if somebody starts something with him, then you finish it. And he didn't back down. He defended me. And I guess that's one of the things that's helped me to be what I am today. Amen. You know, today, as we think about fathers, you think about this father. I am sure that by the time his son come home, he was reaching an elderly age. Evidently, because it says that the oldest son was out running the fields and running the place. So evidently, he had retired to the house. You know, as I was reading this story and I see this, you know, growing up down in Texas and my grandpa and them having a farm and the farmhouse there and a porch with rocking chairs on it, you know, and they would, I don't know, some of you may be from farm country where this has happened, and when it was cool in the evening and go out and sit in the twilight hour, sit on the front porch. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of y'all from farm country know what I'm talking about? You know, I can almost see this dad, and we talked about all of the things, but now let's go here for a minute and see him. He's sitting on the porch, maybe thinking about this son, wondering where he is and what he's doing. You know, I've talked about what he did, but now let's go see this. And as he's rocking in the chair, he looks over and says, Mama, there's somebody coming down the road. Maybe he put his hand up over his eyes to maybe get a better look. Man, I think that looks like Johnny. I believe it is. And he jumps off of the porch and he runs to him and he hugs him and he starts the celebration. All because he's a good father. He's been looking, thinking about this son. But now he has another dilemma. I talked about all of these things. He has another son. And this son has been there, has worked the place, kept it all up. But now he is upset. A father is joyful. His son has returned. And now his other son has thrown a wet blanket on the celebration. Now he has to try to defend and appease at the same time. He defended his brother. He defended his younger son by saying, listen, he was dead. He was lost. Now he's found. But why are you so upset? Everything here is yours. You could have had a party anytime you wanted. You know, I'm talking about fathers and how we should conduct ourselves. But you know what? If we're not careful, that's a picture of us with our Heavenly Father. Because somebody that's been wayward comes and gets a really good, comes and gets blessed, and we've been here for years and years, and you want to get upset. Well, all that he has is ours. He's the good father. He's the example. Let's just take advantage of it. But let's also embrace that which was lost is now found. You know, I guess I've just tried here for a few moments, and I hasn't taken very long today to talk about a good father. And as we look at this, we look at our Heavenly Father. We look at an earthly father. What does a Heavenly Father do for his children? He provides. What does an earthly father do for his children? He provides. What is the Heavenly Father? He's fair. And that should be, we should be fair also. See, this earthly father was saying, hey, he's come back. I'm being fair to him to welcome him back, but you've been here all the time. You could have had a party every day if you wanted it. Come on now. Our Heavenly Father believes in us. He believes in us and loves us so much that he gave his only son for us. We earthly fathers have to believe in our children and our grandchildren. God is love. I already talked about that. We need to show love to unconditionally. That's what this father did. He's showing us. See, what we need to realize here, this is a picture of the Heavenly Father to us, but it's also a picture to us as earthly fathers of how to live and act with our children. And then God celebrates with us. You can, when he wants you to succeed, you see that with all the people that he blesses in the word of God. He wants to bless you. We need to celebrate with our children every step of the way. Celebrate everything they do. And then God is a restorer. He restores when we mess up. And we need to be restorers, fathers, when our children mess up. We're not all perfect, but we all can be restored. And then we defend. God defends us. Hello? Against our accusers. We need to defend our children. Now, they're not always going to do right, but we still need to, we need to be the one that stands up to defend them and say, listen, you didn't do right. But he didn't count in a few, he didn't do right, but he didn't accuse him. He celebrated him coming back. Provide, be fair, believe, love, celebrate, restore, defend. I believe that's a picture of our Heavenly Father. I believe that should be a picture of we as earthly fathers. Do everything we can to provide, be fair, believe, love, celebrate, restore, and defend. That, I believe, is the traits of a good father. All the fathers, will you stand, please? Man, look around this room. Look at all this. If your family's there beside you, I want your family to stand up, or your wife, and beside of you, and gather around and pray for them. Now, I want some of you that are not standing, I want you to look and see some of those that don't have any. Gather around so we can see who's around here. I want you to find somebody that doesn't have anybody, and y'all go and pray together. Some of you that are standing that don't have anybody around you, there's some of you standing. Y'all go and pray with somebody that's standing, because some of you don't have your family here. So you can go pray for somebody else. And while you're praying for them, you pray for your family. Okay? Look around there. Find some people and then pray together. Come on. Come on. Find some people and pray together. All right. Everybody start praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fathers in this place today. I thank you that you are the Heavenly Father. I thank you that every father's heart will be touched in this place today. Hearts that are hurting. Hearts that might be sad. Lift up and restore. Hearts that need to be restored to you. May they ask for forgiveness right now. Fathers that need to ask for forgiveness for how they have acted. May all of us, Father, all of we fathers, may we take inventory of our lives right now. Are we providing? Are we being fair? Are we believing? Are we loving, celebrating, restoring, and defending as we should? Yes, many have left our homes and have their own homes and are their own fathers today. Father, we still can be these things to them and to our grandchildren. Thank you, Father, for being that Father, the Father God, and help us to be the earthly father that each of us should be. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Glory to God. I realize this has been a little different today, but hey, you know, you may be seated. This is a great day. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. If there's anybody in this place today, makes no difference whether you're male or female, that you know that you need to come back and be restored. You haven't lived for God like you should. Or maybe you're here and you've never actually ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and God is your Heavenly Father. I want to pray for you. Anybody in the place, let me see your hand. Anybody anywhere, let me see your hand anywhere. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, John. I want to give you a chance. Maybe you already did it while we were standing there praying. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, everybody stand and let's just thank God that we all can be restored because the Heavenly Father loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And we have a great Heavenly Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, they said there's 1,537 people online with us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today. Remember all the announcements, and we especially need people to sign up to work in the children's area this summer. So please go by just by the east lobby right there, and to the right is as you go that hall, you'll see the resource center, children's resource center, and sign up. We need to help. Remember the discount cards in both lobbies. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them. That we got special gift that we want to give you. Let's give these first-time guests a special hand, okay? Staff, you can go to the doors. We're a little short-handed today, but we're going to try to cover the doors the best we can. So go to that special place with our special guest. Take them to the special room to receive their gift. We're so glad you're here. Praise God. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, be here for the evening service, Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Hey, witness to somebody this week. Talk to somebody about Jesus this week. Okay? Find somebody and bring them with you next Sunday morning. That's the only way we're ever going to fill this building, is for you to bring somebody with you when you come to church. Thank you for being here. Hey, we always sing to dismiss. God bless you, and happy Father's Day to all of you guys. The roof.